Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Down the middle, near the knees, driven out to left center, away, back, gone!
This is your leadoff hitter, at least for the next 5 years. You know, I mean, left or right-handed, I don't think this kid goes anywhere else, you know, in the lineup. You know, I was looking at his splits today, his left-handed splits today, and they're not bad. You know, they're definitely going up. The way the fastball jumped through the zone tonight, that was impressive. I think it was in the eighth inning. There were some 95s up on the board. You know, to carry that velocity, you know, through the eighth inning on a 130-degree night, super impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's been encouraging lately, being able to face some really good left-hand pitching and have some success. And, yeah, it's definitely encouraging to be able to put some good at-bats against some good lefties.
Really just using it when I need it. I know my sinker is really good, getting the ball on the ground early. Kind of those middle innings, I'm not saying I'm going to back off, but more of just being effective in good areas of the strike zone.
Trevor Rogers, what do you say?
I'm going to borrow a line from Al Pacino, Michael Corleone, and The Godfather 3. Nolan, get in here. Just when I thought I was out, they pull me back in. Trevor Rogers last night, and you heard during Joe LaCroix's update, had the best start by an Oriole almost 2 years. And depending on how this thing all unfolds with a lot of baseball left to be played before the All-Star break, we're actually coming up on the halfway point of the season in actual games played and before the trade deadline and everything that goes along with it. Trevor Rogers made that start at Fenway Park. Second game of a doubleheader. Let me refresh your memory. They blew the first game, losing on a walk-off 6-5 loss. They fell 18 games below 500. He was pitching the second game. I was sitting on my deck, sucking down a cold one. We're going to get swept. Another heartbreaking loss. It's going to be a series sweep. The season's going to totally circle the drain. And it is what it is. And it's still May, by the way. Then he comes out and deals. Did not factor in the decision, but the Orioles wound up winning the game. And starting with that game, the Orioles are 18-10. Now, what have they done? Well, they've trimmed 8 games off of being 18 games below. They're 10 games below 500. And then Trevor Rogers last night, after a disastrous start last week against Tampa, where he had an 8-0 lead and couldn't get through the fourth inning. Got to be honest with you. My expectations were rather low. But his performance output was high quality. Let's go to the no walks thing, which is huge. Painting corners, keeping the ball down. You heard him talking about the sinker. I mean, the velo was 95, 96. So he was still keeping that pumping into the eighth inning. But this was a huge start for the Orioles, who really needed that sort of thing. Now, Morton's going to go tonight, who's been pitching a lot better as of late, and we commend him for the season turnaround. Still to be determined, it looks like, for tomorrow night. But Trevor Rogers to start that series with that level of performance, I was floored. I was happy. I felt good for him because, quite frankly, Nolan, we were down at Pickles Pub along with Ryan Ripken doing Baltimore baseball tonight. We'll be there again tonight with Jim Hunter. I didn't really expect much. If anything, I thought it might be a crooked number kind of game for both teams. And we were talking yesterday with Jared Sandler from Rangers Radio, where the Rangers can't score. We saw that last night, but Trevor Rogers was dominant. So is it fair to say, and this is with all due respect to Eflin and Sagano and Povich and Kramer and everyone else who's throwing a baseball in anger for the Orioles out of the rotation, that Trevor Rogers, Nolan McGraw has had the two best starts of the season for the Orioles this year?
Well, I don't think that's really a debate at all.
Sagano got into the seventh.
Yeah, but last night, you mentioned it. You got to go back to 2023 with Grayson to get anything similar to that. And for that to be the deepest that Rogers has ever gone in his career, his MLB career, that is, I think that speaks even more volumes. I'm with you. I was expecting to come in today and be talking about a bunch of excuses. The weather got to us and all that, and the ball was carrying, and this is why we couldn't hit off of a left-handed pitcher again. No, Rogers was amazing. They hit off of a lefty. They got to Corbin. The Holiday was exceptional. I mean, it went the exact opposite of how I thought it would. So I think the biggest thing that I'm left asking today is what the hell happened in Tampa last week? Because if you're really, to be fair, he's not going to pitch like last night every time he goes out there. But can he be good? Not just average. Can he be good? Can he be a strong point for this rotation? I don't know. Maybe just something was out of whack last week because you can't blame the weather. Might have been even worse in Baltimore last night than it was in Tampa last week.
I think Tony Manzalino said that before the game.
So
at the press conference.
Hey, I can't explain it, but I sure as hell will take it.
Yeah, and look, he's got to put them together consecutive. You can't have a one good, one horrible, one great. I mean, you got to start putting them together like Morton's doing, like Dean Kramer's done for the most part. Now, they need to get Zach Eplin, obviously, straightened out here a little bit. But Trevor Rogers was outstanding. So we praise. Don't know if this is going to be the long-term answer. Keep in mind, he is controllable for a couple more years, which made him attractive to Mike Elias last year at the trade deadline when they sent Stowers and Norby to bring him over here. So if he gets back to... And he was better last night than he was when he was an all-star in 2021 and was second in the Rookie of the Year voting. He was tremendous. But can he put them together consecutive? Because with injuries, they're going to need him to be that guy, not what he was last night. That'd be brilliant if he could do it. But just go out there, give him six, keep him in games. You know, he struggled with his command last week against Tampa, which kind of led to his demise. But throw strikes, let your defense do the rest, and see how things roll. And you mentioned Jackson Holiday. Big game last night himself, 3-for-5, homer and 4 ribbies. And we heard Tony Manzalino talking about his success against lefties for the season. Jackson Holiday, get your votes in for the All-Star game, by the way. Got a couple more weeks of that. Go to Orioles.com. Vote for him and O'Hearn. Holiday second right now. O'Hearn leads. Get him in there. I know it's not exactly a strong second base crew, but he's still deserving of consideration. But against lefties this year, he's hitting .273. Hit his second home run last night. OPS .739. I mean, the numbers against lefties and much smaller sample size are better than they are against right-handed pitching. But the fact that he's doing what he's doing, we're talking about him being an all-star a year ago. Oh, they brought him up too soon. Oh, my God, why didn't they take this other guy with the first pick of the draft? That's why I always defer to the experts. This guy has had it in him from the entirety of his life. He grew, his dad's an all-star. His brother's going to be a top 3-4 pick, maybe the number one pick here in less than 3 weeks. This is why he was 1-1. This is why he was the number one prospect coming through the ranks, not rated by Oriole fans, by Baseball America, by ESPN.com, by anyone that does Keith Law, everyone who does it. Now we're starting to see why. Because the bat plays and plays in a big way, and that was oppo power last night. And Corbin, as you said, Nolan, had pitched very well for the Rangers this year going into last night's game, and he got, as the young kids would say.
Worst start of the year for him, which is great for the Orioles case. And as far as Holiday's concerned, I mean, yeah, you said there, I think the key was defer to the experts. And I think you meant right Elias for drafting him, right? Well, I would say, I mean, those same experts are seemingly the ones that held him back from facing left-handed pitching so soon in his career. So it goes both ways. I mean, if this is what he's always been capable of, then I'm only left asking, well, why didn't we see this sooner? Why didn't we get this opportunity sooner? Old manager, whatever it is, difference in manager, timing, whatever led to this, doesn't really matter to me. Just why did it take this long? And it's not just a holiday thing. This has been an every Orioles prospect thing. So maybe, just maybe, finally, we can use this latest case of evidence to say, maybe we shouldn't baby these guys out the gate, because if we believe in them enough to draft them one overall or top five or whatever it is, then I think you believe in them enough to hit left-handed pitching. Give them the chance to do it.
Well, let's be honest. Last year, Jackson Holliday couldn't hit any pitching. He was struggling against anybody that threw a baseball, right-handed, left-handed, ambidextrous, whatever it is. Now, hopefully, to your point, Coby Mayo starts to get a little more at-bat run against right-handed pitching. And by the way, and we'll talk about this with Matt Weyrich later in the show, Coby Mayo made a couple of nifty plays at first base last night, too. So maybe he's getting more acclimated to the situation over there. But a big win for the Orioles last night, I guess. But they shut him out. They bounced back after that tough loss to the Yankees on Sunday. Can they win the series tonight behind Charlie Morton? We shall see. Tampa comes to town this weekend. But Trevor Rogers, you're our three star of the day. Jackson Holliday, you get a couple of stars as well. Every Orioles starter had a knock except for Gunnar Henderson, but he made that sterling over-the-shoulder catch out in shallow left field to stem whatever tide the Rangers were trying to rise at that time. So a nice, solid team win for the Birds on a really hot Monday night.
I thought it was pretty impressive. Like you said, Bob, the pitching was great. Jackson was good. I just wish the only thing that I can ever say negative about Jackson, Bob, is he strikes out a lot. You know, last night he struck out two times again. You know, so what, in his last seven games, he struck out seven times. You know, for a leadoff guy, they don't normally strike out that much, do they?
I think K's aren't as taken as seriously as they, it's all about the on-base percentage.
Yeah.
Now, if your K's are there, I mean, Cal Raleigh, for instance, has struck out a ton for Seattle, and he had his 32nd home run last night. So, as long as you get on base, I think you'll live with the K's. Now, you're 0 for 4 or 4 K's, then you got a problem leading off the game.
Now, Bob, you were talking about it. We're almost halfway. Halfway is, they're at 77 games.
81's halfway.
Yeah, but they've got 85 left. For them to get to 86 wins, they got to go 52-33.
All right. Well, they're 18-10 last 28. So they've trimmed. They're still 6.5 out of the wild card. And if you want to start talking about teams they have to pass, well, they gained a game on the Rangers in that. And Boston lost again last night. So they gained a game on them. So there's still work to be done, but they're still teetering that fine line. And if anything, got to win at home. Yep. Texas stinks on the road. You have to win your home games, at least your home series. So they could do that tonight with a win against the Texas Ball Club. Charlie Morton, can he keep this hot streak rolling that he's been on after a disastrous beginning to the 2025 season? You want to get in, 410-583-1057 is the number. It's turning up Tuesday. We're cranking it up to 12. Your surprise level for Trevor Rogers on a scale of 1 to 10. What he did last night, mine's 14.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
About you, had their latest mock draft yesterday. Where did Queen go? We'll talk about that a little bit during the whip around, which is at 11:15. And Dave's been breaking out position by position the football team, because here we sit, what, June 24th? We're about 5 weeks away from practice starting for Mike Locksley. 10 Saturdays from their opener. Well, coming up this week, it'll be 9 Saturdays from their opener.
You know what's funny about college football? But they're all there. Like, there was a bunch of them at the O's game last night, because it's mandatory. Well, kind of volunteer, kind of like OTAs, voluntary mandatory. They're all there for summer school. you know, to live and train and do all that. So college football, yeah, they're there quite, because their break is once school ends until summer school starts. They're there lifting and everything now.
Well, you got to take advantage of that $5 bazillion complex that they turned Cole Fieldhouse into. But we'll talk to Dave about all of that good stuff. Orioles win last night, 6-0, behind Trevor Rogers' brilliant performance. Jackson Holliday's hot bat. Ramon Laureano had a couple of knocks as well. So the Orioles, they win the opener. Got to defend the home turf. Protect this house, the old Ralph Friedgen and Under Armour mantra from 20 years ago. And then let chips fall where they may. But 18-10 over the Orioles, and Trevor Rogers made that start in Fenway Park, which salvaged a split of that one. They won a little bit of a heater. Another six-game winning streak would certainly help the cause as well. But Trevor Rogers, if I was wearing a hat, I'm not, full disclosure, I'd be tipping it to you because that was a pretty badass performance for sure. Let's get out to the phone. SportsTap 583. 1057 is the number. Let's go to Ryan in Baltimore. Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen.
Hey, Ryan.
So I wanted to talk about Trevor Rogers in the past three outings he's had. He had the good one against Boston and then the rocky one against the Rays and then the immaculate one yesterday. The one thing I've noticed between the three and the outlier being the Tampa Bay one is in the Tampa Bay one, I felt like he was doing too good of a job at painting the zone. He wasn't getting the calls from the umpire that I don't even want to say were 50-50. I think the umpire just missed the calls. I think the broadcast said that there were about 7 or 8 pitches that he missed, and a lot of them came in high leverage count spots. So 0-0, 0-1, 1-1, those types of counts that really put him ahead. So it just shows that when he's not getting those calls, he has to pitch more in the middle of the zone, leading to bigger contact from the offense, which is exactly what happened with the Rays.
Yeah, well, his command kind of takes a hike on him, and it did that game, and I understand. And look, Ryan, I got no problem ragging on umpires. I mean, I almost get kind of a kick out of it because now they're all young. They look like they're 12. They'll toss you for any sort of Alex Cora's been thrown out of 2 straight games for the Red Sox. So I get the thin-skinned nature, but, you know, he did kind of labor a little bit there. Poor strike zone or inconsistent strike zone. Notwithstanding, for sure.
Right. Yeah, and especially with the heat. I mean, yes, yesterday was a hotter day in Baltimore, but when you're sitting there on the bench for 30 minutes from a long inning from your offense, which, trust me, I'm not complaining about, but, but you know, when he has to kind of get back into that routine and he's not getting those painted calls, he's got to start really focusing on nailing the strike zone, and it leads to big hits. You know, but I have seen that especially from last year, he does have a lot more command, especially with that sinker in the lower part of the strike zone. So when he's not getting those calls, the offense, the opposing offense says, okay, the umpire's not giving you that bottom 4 inches of the zone. I'm going to lay off and wait for one down the middle. And I think that kind of bit him. But, you know, I really like what he said about his mental game, getting back into it. And I think especially injuries have led him to be with the team, and I think he's going to be a good addition.
Well, real quick before we let you roll, and I guess the question is a surprise level for the start. I mean, you're not stunned because, 8 innings, 3 hit ball. I mean, come on, no walks. Nobody saw that. But either way, do you think that since he's controllable, if he stays healthy with pitching nowadays, it's obviously a huge if, will he be an asset to this team for the rest of this season into next year and beyond?
I definitely think for the rest of this year, just because pitching is at a premium with all the injuries, I think maybe not next year, but he could eventually be a good trade piece in a few years since you have control over him for a few years. I think he's definitely going to help this team if he keeps up these steady performances. Now, I don't expect him to go out there and be a Paul Skeens ace or, you know, even Corbin Burns, but if he can be like Zach Eflin where he gives you 2 out of 3 good starts, then I think he'd be willing to help the team as a number 3 or 4.
Yeah, and then you're not trying to trade him. Mm-hmm. That creates another dilemma. Hey, Ryan, good call. Thanks. Ryan in Baltimore talking about Trevor Rogers. Outstanding last night. Let's go back to Baltimore, bring in Ray. Ray, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What is going on? Hey, do you think, if I'm inside of a supermarket right now that starts with a G and rhymes with the New York theme, so you can, you know, read between the lines.
Yeah.
But
good luck with them eggs.
Oh, yeah. But
one for five.
I owe Mike Elias the apology because, you know, like many armchair GMs, you know, we try to pretend like we've been in the seat that Vinny has been in, but we really haven't. We're just passionate fans. And, you know, we just got to let this play out with the Orioles. They're going to have good days. They're going to have bad days. This is the mark of a team. Like I said, at the earlier start of the season, it's a 75-win team. Hopefully they win more, but I don't know. But I want to ask Vinny a question before I, you know, hang up and y'all get to the break. Do you think you see the transition this year happen with Isaiah likely supplanting Mark Andrews as TE1? Because, I mean, both of them is in the last year of that deal, and I truly believe that they're going to keep Isaiah likely over Mark Andrews because it's such a big year, and I think that Isaiah likely is going to be a household name when it comes to tight ends in the NFL this year, along with the Kelce's and all those other things. What you guys think, man? I'll catch y'all later.
All right, Ray.
I don't think. You know, I think they're going to split their reps. There's too many weapons, you know, because Bateman's got to get the ball. Zay's got to get the ball. You know, and a lot of the things were likely where you want to get him the ball, those quick screens and stuff. All right, when Zay was hurt, all of that kind of stuff went to him. Now, with Zay healthy, you know, maybe he, instead of him getting three or four, he gets one. I just kind of see that he's going to be the guy that they keep, my opinion. But Andrews is going to have his role and likely he's going to have his role. And, you know, he may be number one, but I don't think it really matters because they're both going to be playing a lot.
And hasn't Andrews come in like a man on a mission?
Oh, boy, he looks good. He looks really good. Looks in great shape. He's running well. You know, and they've all three tight ends have been at every. The only I saw likely miss one practice. Otherwise, all three, they've been there every time.
It's Vinny at 81057. The Pat Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Orioles shut out the Rangers last night. 6-0 behind Trevor Rogers. Orioles right now, 10 games below 500, 6.5 out of the wild card. They did get a game on the Yankees, got clobbered by the Reds yesterday. But the division, forget about that. What about the wild card? Where do the Orioles, where will they be, in your opinion, at the All-Star break in regards to close to 500? And more importantly, how many out of the wild card and how much will that influence Mike Elias's decisions at the
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Trade deadline. But to get him to be one of the top five players in the game, and what a difference a year makes. And we can get into player development and everything that we've discussed over the year, because we talked about it with Steve Molesky, the first wave of this Elias group. I mean, he had the last vestiges of Dan Duquette with Cedric Mullins and Austin Hayes and Ryan Mountcastle, Grayson Rodriguez. But Adley, Westberg, Kowser, who was a top five pick, certainly Gunnar Henderson. That next wave has come through here pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Holiday got off to that rough start in 2024 to the point where he was sent back to the minor leagues. And he was overwhelmed. And we talked about it with Matt Weirich a couple weeks ago, who we're going to have on at 12:30. When he made his debut at Fenway Park, of all places, you would have thought Elvis was in town with the media throng. And you don't think that is overwhelming for, what, a 21-year-old, 20-year-old at the time? Adjusted, made some adjustments. I mean, his dad's an all-star, of course, Matt Holiday. Little tweakage here, there. And look at him now. Now, the all-star thing would be quite an accomplishment based on where he was a year ago. Like, Adley was kind of, he was earmarked as the all-star dude from the jump. I mean, made the all-star team his first full season. Was the starter last year. Same with Gunnar. Gunnar was the starting shortstop last season.
2 years ago, they had Hayes and Cano and Batista and all of these others. And then last year, you had Westberg and Santander and all of these. Now the Orioles are looking like a two all-star team. Mm-hmm. And don't get in here on this one, too. If we go back, Vinny, to mid-April. All right. Orioles are going to have two all-stars. Pick them. Might be like Gunnar and Adley. You know what I mean? Instead, it's going to be maybe Holiday. O'Hearn's probably going to be the starting DH for the American League, and rightfully so, because he's having a hell of a season. But Holiday making the all-star team this year? I didn't see that one happening. No. O'Hearn's been a solid contributor since the Orioles got him, so he deserves that recognition. But Holiday maybe starting the all-star game, and even if he doesn't start, because I believe Glaber leads him by like 80,000 votes, whatever it is, he might get picked just because of merit. It's not a big second base year in the AL right now.
Right, and the position part of it is kind of what I wanted to mention because, look, he's earned this based on his offense mostly, the right to be in the All-Star game, but you can't discount the growth that he's displayed as a defensive second baseman when that wasn't his position he played coming up. So to get thrown there, succeed there, and if he does make the All-Star game there, would join just Scope and Brian Roberts as the only all-star second baseman of at least the last 25 years. I mean, that's, you can't really discount that either.
Get him in. His arm looks much better. You know, I wish, like, Gunnar has some wild plays. I wish I wish that Holiday, to me, the next step is that he makes some wild plays. Gunnar seems like he makes one every other game.
Made almost one last night.
Oh, that was spectacular. Now, Bob, let me ask you this. If Manzolino, he said over the next 5 years, one of the top five players in the league. Statistically, what does he have to do in your mind to be that?
A top five player?
Yep.
You're talking, you're contending for batting titles. The OPS is over nine. You know what I mean? You've solidified yourself as a standout defensive player. He's got speed. He's going to steal 20 bases this year. I mean, he can be a 2020 guy. But man, top five player. He said 2 years, 27.
Oh, yeah. 2 years,
yeah. I know,
right.
It feels like it's not 2025. We're already a quarter of a century in to the 21st century. But man, if it happens, hallelujah! And open that checkbook, old David Rubenstein.
Yeah,
but top 10. We'll take that. Top five. That's in the game. There are two leagues in baseball, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of, how about this Dela Cruz over in Cincinnati right now and the things that he can do?
You got to do it all. Yeah. I mean, if you're top five in today's game.
You got to be a five-tool guy.
Right, and if you're only going to do one or two of those things, well, you have to be like Aaron Judge and just absolutely mash the baseball. I mean, Judge he's not going to steal bases, but he'll hit 50 home runs. So
yeah, and he's not a slouch defensively. He's got good arm in right field. Judge, I'm saying.
Yeah, until the World Series rolls around.
Where they're like intentionally walking Soto to get to Aaron Judge. But the point is, man, that's high praise, high expectations. But when you're 1-1, I mean, that's kind of what comes with the territory, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. When you're picking the first pick in a draft, you're expecting that's the face of your franchise type guy.
Football, Cam Ward, number one pick in the draft. You don't think 3 years from now they want him to be one of the top five quarterbacks in football?
Yep, no doubt. No, that's why, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. They would have a lot of faces. You know, well, in 2 years, Gunnar will definitely can still be that, and he's going to even get better. And then, who knows? Basayo could be coming up on that track too.
Question is, can the Orioles get one of them pitching things to work in that area? Position play. Hey, look, Moon Man was second in the Rookie of the Year, so he's a keeper, right? So they've got all these outfielders coming up through the ranks that we haven't even seen yet. So there's still plenty of talent on this team, and they're not rebuilding. They might retool in the offseason. I don't want to be a Bobby Bummer, but, you know, 6.5. Not insurmountable, but there's just too many valleys as opposed to peaks, even though I just told you about their last 28 games, they're 18-10.
Well, the Holiday stuff and the Rogers stuff by extension, too. I mean, those are good things to latch onto that don't just matter this year. And that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, how many great or positive takeaways can we leave 2025 with, regardless of record results, playoffs, no playoffs, selling, buying at the deadline, doesn't matter. I mean, how many things can you actually lean on going into next year as a, all right, that's a concrete thing that I'm willing to put stock in as they build the next version of this team?
Well, I'm going to say this, and you're going to be mad at me for doing it, Nolan. I will make this proclamation on June 24th, 2025. The Baltimore Orioles will be a playoff team in 2026. We'll come back. Got a lot to get to. Kevin Allstriker, USA Today, the Ravens. Why, Ravens, if they're not a playoff team, you don't think we're going to be running hot in January? Got a lot to get to here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. Talking about how the Ravens sucked at drafting wide receivers. And Rashad Bateman, as you would expect, took offense to it. Then there was last year's where he got the two-year deal because he didn't reach incentives in regards to showing up on a certain amount of days to get the fifth-year option picked up. But here we sit after all of that and Bateman having a breakout 2024. He's happy. He's got some dough. And he's ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is, you know, I mean, just from reading things that we hear, you know, they gave him permission to go shop himself, you know, the agent to go shop. And there was a lot of teams interested. It's like, you know, and Bateman, that's probably when Bateman is always, Eric, I want to be here. You know, where the Cowboys and Green Bay and these other teams were, you know, calling Eric. No, I want to be here, Eric. So they got a deal done. And I mean, you've seen over time, you know, like just over the last year, like his personality and temperament on the field has totally changed from 2 years ago, pouting all the body language was awful, awful 2 years ago.
The game that stands out to me, Vinny, was the Steeler game. When Andrews dropped a touchdown pass, Bateman dropped a touchdown pass, and he was donezo.
Yeah.
After that one, Ravens, as usual, found a way to lose to the Steelers. But, yeah, he kind of checked out, and you would read that he'd throw the helmet on the sideline, and then he'd shut it down.
And then there was a lot of times, because he and Lamar could not get on the same page on a deep ball. Like, he would way overthrow him and be open, and, you know, you'd see the arms drop and the head, you know, it'd be like, come on, you know.
The AFC Championship game, he didn't even throw it to him, and he was wide open.
Amen to that. You know, so that is totally, because his personality now is totally different. Even out at the OT, you know, he's happy, he's outgoing, you know, he's having fun. And so is Lamar. And you know, last year you see Lamar, you know, throwing him touchdown pass, running down there, jumping up and down on him. What, he have 9 touchdown passes? And I think why? Because you're a quarterback and your receiver makes plays for you, you know, just like last night in that game, Bob. I mean, you know, you saw Rodgers when Gunner makes that play. I mean, he's taking his hat off and cheered. Yep. You know, when you do something to help the quarterback out or the pitch, you know, I mean, they don't forget that kind of stuff. Why did Lamar say Andrews was his guy? Because when he first started out, Andrews was making those clutch catches for him. So you feel confident in that guy. You'll go to that guy. And I think that's what happened this year to Bateman. I think that's what everybody saw. You know, so I think Bateman is only going to keep getting better and better.
Yeah, I averaged almost 17 yards of reception in 2024. Let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Jack in Middle River. Jack, you're on the Fan with Benny Haney and Nolan McGraw. It's Turning Up Tuesday. That was Iron Maiden, by the way, coming out of the break. What's up?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I don't know if you remember last year, I called and told you, I said I think the Ravens should give Rashad Bateman an extension or some money, and y'all was like, no. And also, I want to talk about, do y'all think the kid from Colorado is going to be starting
Wester?
For the Ravens? Yes, man. If you think Wester is going to be starting for the Ravens?
The only thing he would start as is a punt returner. Otherwise, absolutely not. And let me ask you this, because Todd Monken said the same thing to me. I mean, do you want, because the plays that Wester would get, because I don't know, I mean, he's tiny. You know, he's not a big guy. So the plays that he would get on the offensive side, you know, like jet sweeps, quick screens, would you rather have Wester getting those or Zay Flowers getting those?
Zay Flowers. Right. Zay Flowers.
Right. So that's kind of, you know, if he can't be the starting punt returner, he'll be your sixth receiver. And if he's not your punt returner, he'll have a hard time being active on Sundays.
Okay, thank you for taking my call, man.
All right, Jack. And I'd like to say I remember that, but because I'd be like, I never said that. I said, yeah, they should sign. And another 3 years ago now, believe it or not, 2022 with Bateman, 7 games, averaged 19 yards a reception, then got hurt. A couple of TDs, and that was the year Lamar himself, he went down. So we've seen flashes of this. Mel Kiper had him. If he would have came out a year earlier from Minnesota, he would have been a top 15 pick.
Yep.
Ravens did get him in the first round. Now we're starting to see what the hubbub was all about. And let's stress this, too. He's only 25. He won't be 26 until November.
Yeah. You know, I mean, he had a tough, like at Minnesota, he had a tough COVID thing. I mean, right. He gained a bunch of weight. Tweaked his knee, I think. Yeah, so, I mean, his trajectory is high right now. I mean, healthy, you know, got a great relationship with quarterback. Sounds like he and Zay are real tight. So it's a really good locker room, really good receiver room.
When we come back, Kevin Ostreicher, USA Today, the Ravens Wire, joins us every Tuesday. Talk about the team, Rashad Bateman. The wide receiver room, is it the best in Ravens history? I think you can make a strong case that it is. Whip around left 15. What happened in this day in Orioles history? Well, good stuff because we only talk about the wins, no doubt about it. Mock draft, ESPN.com came out yesterday. Where does Derek Queen wind up? And we'll talk about that very subject with Dave LaMonaco from TerrapinTimes.com coming up at 11:30.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.